Good morning, everyone. Amen. I appreciated the testimonies this morning. That was especially hearing from you young people, the things that God has done in your life. I don't know why I think that way, but I kind of think that Bible school is for Bible students. But we get a blessing too, don't we? All of us get a blessing. He that watereth shall be watered himself. Well, let me begin this morning by reading a little children's story to you. The names in this story have been changed to protect the innocent, or the not-so-innocent, maybe. But just hear this little story as we consider our subject this morning. Susie and Pauline are sitting at the kitchen table waiting for the rest of the family to gather for devotions and breakfast. Bright little Susie has been awake for a while, dressed herself, brushed her teeth, washed her face, and pulled her own hair back in a ponytail. Pauline has just awakened and is still in her nightgown. Her hair is messy. She has sleepy eyes, and she is sitting with her head resting on one hand, which is pushing her cheek up, closing her eye on the one side, her elbow sticking far in toward the center of the table. And the following conversation follows. "Good morning, Pauline. Are you tired?" Susie asks with a sincere tone. Pauline gives a little groan and wipes her closed eye before setting her head back down on her hand. "It's time to wake up," says Susie in a voice as sweet as honey. Something about her tone of voice makes one think that she is very aware of how grown up she sounds. A slight scowl crosses Pauline's face. No answer. "Are you feeling grumpy this morning?" comes Susie's question with a tone of adult-like warning. Pauline's eyebrows raise high with a look of self-defense just as Mother comes round the corner, scooping her up on her lap in her place at the table and cuddling her tight. Pauline's eyes slide sideways to glance at Susie with a silent smile of satisfaction, which, as she lifts her face to Mother's, becomes a smile of delight and adoring love. How many of you can relate to that scenario? This is only one of many scenarios that we could talk about this morning. Children speaking hurtingly, subtle innuendos, angry outbursts, subtle jabbing comments, bizarre resistance to small requests, hateful words slipping out, short answers while working together, loud talk, stepping over the other, not giving them time to finish what they are saying, defensive stances, loud, boastful speech, open ridicule, reminders of failures long forgiven, scoffing or mocking tones of voices, or sweet tones, but hurtful words. These are the things that make a home a grief to live in. Wouldn't you agree? This is the kind of thing that make homes a grief to live in. Yet how often do these things happen? And I'm afraid that it's too often. I'd like to speak today about godly relationships in the home. Godly relationships in the home. Could we kneel for a time of prayer here? Now, Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You for bringing us all together here to hear Your Word. And I do pray that You would grant me Your power, Your words, that I might speak as the oracle of the Lord. Lord, help me this morning. I don't want to unburden my heart according to David Cooper. But oh, that You would lift up Thy heart this morning, that You would speak out of heaven this morning through this simple message. I pray You'd order my thoughts, order my words. I pray You would sit and move among us. You'd bring application to every heart as You have done so often. Would You do Your work in each heart? I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to begin with, let's look at a few scriptures that deal with this matter. Beginning in Luke chapter 6. Verse 45. Luke 6, 45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. I have a burden for our families this morning. I'm concerned about what is in our hearts that causes some of these things to be in our home. When I say our homes, I am including mine as well. I would like to examine this subject together this morning, that we might all be edified and in the end have peaceful, godly relationships in our homes. My burden is not only that these things are bad and should not be in a Christian home, but I am more concerned that we are missing the blessed life that Jesus died to give us. I believe that Jesus would have us walking in love with one another in our homes, each person, parent or child, walking in peace and love toward one another. I believe that the hurting should be made well by the love of the family. The timid should be encouraged in the family. The foolish should be made wise in love in the home. The fearful should receive a blessing from the lips of his family. I believe those things. Ephesians 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. And I know that that's our desire this morning, that we would all grow up to be like Christ. But notice how this scripture says it should happen. Speaking the truth in love. And I'm not going to deal with all the ramifications that it has in a general application across the world, but I'd like to apply it specifically to our homes. And let's just focus for a moment on the relationships that we have in our homes. Speaking the truth in love. Now, I don't think any of us here are avid liars. I don't think that we're in our homes telling spinning tales and telling lies, though we may talk about the grapevine in a little bit. But are we speaking the truth in love? Is there a love in our heart for each member of the family that governs and directs our speech in the home? I believe that all we say to one another in our families should manifest that we love one another. Even when it's difficult, we need to say something difficult. The way we say it, what we say, should manifest that we love one another. Every word, every look, every expression, all our body language should say, I love you, my brother or sister. If our homes are a touch of heaven, then what does the song say? All the air is love, right? All the air is love there. Titus 2, verse 8. You young men can take this to heart. In Titus, Paul speaks to his disciple Titus. Titus 2, verse 8, he says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. And in verse 8 he says, sound speech that cannot be condemned. So that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. Speech that cannot be condemned. I'd like to hold that up to us this morning, young men. Can your speech not be condemned? Is your speech of such that when I speak, everything I say, the critic from the outside has nothing to condemn in my speech? And I think if all of us take a look at that and we apply it to this application in the home, when someone is in our home, is there anything that they can find in our speech toward one another which they might point the finger and condemn? That is not good. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace. Always with a gracefulness. Always with a smooth movement. Let your speech be such that it obviously flows from a heart of grace. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at this verse. I'd like to spend a little time there, so please turn there. Chapter 4, verse 6 says, 4:29 is what I'm looking for. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may administer grace unto the hearers. Now I'd like to just take this verse apart for some of you younger children so that you can understand what I'm talking about. This verse says, let no corrupt, which means rotten or putrefying, something coming out of your mouth which is rotten, unwholesome, it's not sound, there's something the matter with it, it's decaying. That's what the word says there, and I don't think we have to look very long before we can understand that word in the context of our homes. Those words that come out of our mouth, and they're not the kind of words you would want to set on the dinner table for everyone to look at. They're not the ones that would be a blessing if company were there to bring a whole array of those kind of words out and set them down in the middle of company. You wouldn't do that. They're unwholesome. They're corrupt. Well, this says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Can I have one of you young boys that is 8 years old and younger, raise your hand and tell me how much is no corrupt communication? How many are less than 8 years old? Raise your hand. Okay, which one of you would like to tell me when I say no corrupt communication, how much is that? How much communication is that? Okay, who wants to help? None. Very good. Do we hear the Word of God this morning? Very plainly, the Word of God says, Christian, let no, none, no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. How long? What does it say? Doesn't say how long, does it? So we imply ever come out of your mouth. In other words, it's the will of God for us that our mouths should be pure of all corrupt communication. Is that the Word of God? So we should have a gate on our mouth that closes when any corrupt communication that might linger in our hearts wants entrance and utterance from our lips. We should stop it. See, it says, let not. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. We'll talk about dealing with the heart, but at least let's start at the lips. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good. The gate should always open to that which is good. You know, it's not a life of silence. The Christian life is not a life of silence. It's a life of silence of corrupt communication. And if that's all you have to say, then let's be silent. But the Scripture equally commands us that we should say those things which are good. And what defines a good word? That which is good to the use of edifying. Now, edifying does not mean educating. Okay, it's you can make that mistake. You can think, well, if what I have to say is factual and can inform someone, then I'm fulfilling this Scripture. But that's not what this Scripture says. The word edifying means to build up. In other words, the question we should ask at the gate of our lips should not be, is what I'm about to say educating? What I should ask is this going to build up this situation? Because there's a lot of educating things that don't edify. It can just be talk. But this says, only let those things out of your mouth which are good to build the other person up. How many would like to live in a world where this verse is always kept? How many would like to live in a family where this Scripture is reality? Wouldn't that be a blessing to live there? But don't we fall short of it? But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. You know, if your little brother doesn't know the answer, edify him. Tell him that's okay. I didn't know that once before too. You know, you're going to be big someday and you'll know as much as daddy. Maybe more if you learn your lesson. Everything coming out of the mouth to edify that little brother. Everything to build him up and encourage him. You can educate someone while you belittle him and not edify him. You know, it's interesting now, understanding the Scripture there that God's will for us is that no corrupt communication comes out of our mouth. And that all that comes out of our mouth should be good to edify the other person. Now it's interesting to read the rest, the other three verses that follow. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I think the Scripture is saying here that when we let unwholesome things out of our mouth, it is a grief to the Holy Ghost. That we can grieve the Spirit of God out of our homes by the words that we use with one another. If they're deriding and cutting and hurting and unwholesome words, the Spirit of God can be grieved, and it only manifests that there is bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and malice in our hearts that is coming out of our mouth. But if we were tender-hearted and overlooking those faults and forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave us, then we would be willing and easily build each other up with the words that we speak. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death or life. Proverbs 13:3 says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. I believe the Scripture here disagrees with the popular notion today that you need to speak your mind and, I forget that psychological term they use, peg it. You need to peg it. You know, if you're feeling guilty or something, you need to peg it on someone and just tell them. Tell them off. Let them know what you're thinking about those people. Don't be dishonest. You know, tell them. Be honest and tell them what you think of them. That disagrees with this Scripture. He that openeth wide his mouth cometh to destruction. But he that guardeth his lips keeps his life. The heart of the righteous man studieth to answer. You know what studieth means? Studieth means you think about it. Like on that hard math problem that you have in your book there at homeschooling, when you're studying it, you say, what is the answer to that? I have never seen one with that many numbers in it before. That's scary. I wonder, let me read the directions 3 times out loud. That's studying. Well, the Scripture says, a righteous man studieth to answer. You know, not open the mouth first and then think about what to say, but think about what I'm going to say and then open my mouth and say what I know it's going to edify. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. If we are quick to speak, we will get into an angry situation and we will not know how to do this. We need to study to answer in a volatile situation. We need to know how to say it and what to say. Lord, help us. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. Love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far for a moment's reckless folly thus to desolate and mar. Angry words are lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. There is that speaketh, Proverbs says, like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I'd like to just have a word with us fathers this morning about this Scripture. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. How long would we tolerate it if one member of our family stabbed the other with a large knife? You know, I brought some knives along for demonstration. There are some places, and I think I'm accurate in this description, some homes, some people's lives are like this. They go about life swinging a machete like this sword. I didn't have a sword. But let's boil it down to our homes. If one of our children had this and were brandishing it about in our family, how long would it take you, Father, to put an end to it? If they were swinging this in the kitchen, at the kitchen table, or in the living room during family devotions, they were swinging this. Or they're playing in a sandbox and one had this machete and was just swinging it about. How long would it take you to be out there and put an end to it? I think you'd be there shortly. And I don't think we have much of that. There are those, I've known some, who are like that. They have no control. They are full of anger, full of wrath, bitterness, and no control of the mouth. And everywhere they go, you just say, get away from that person. He is going to hurt somebody with his words. And I don't think I'm speaking to anyone like that this morning. I don't think so. So let's reduce it to this one. You know, maybe this, if you had an angry outburst in the kitchen, or someone was having an argument and was seething inside over it and went to the kitchen for the knife and was stalking the brother, and you saw it, would you stop it in your home? But I think that sometimes can happen. With a word. I'm talking about our words. The Bible says here, there is one person that speaks like a stab. Say that about me, will you? Do that to me, will you? I'll say this to you. And it stabs the person. And if we saw it like that, you'd have that knife in a heartbeat. But how often does it go on in the home unchecked? Fathers. And maybe that's not real often in the home. This probably is not a real often occurrence. But maybe it's this one. Maybe it's this one. And I think this gets to be habitual. Maybe we're not seething and we've got bitterness and anger and rage. Maybe we're just selfish or proud. And we feel a competition with our brother or our sister. Or our mother. And the words are more like this. You know, just a, you know, a sideways comment that only that person knows what you're saying. I think that's very common. Very common. And what about the person that got the stab? What happens to the relationship when the relationship is back and forth and back and forth like that? And I think in some homes, it's not even this deep. I think you maybe have it under control that far. But I have another one here. Just a question for you. This is a pin. I got it out of my wife's little box this morning. Now this will not make you hardly even bleed. But it hurts. And what if your son, fathers, just had one of these during the day and was going around jigging people? What, has anyone ever been jigged with a pin? It hurts, doesn't it? It doesn't just hurt once. It hurts a while, doesn't it? It stings. Now, it's not the kind of hurt that you're going to bleed to death. But, ow, why did you, what, Mom, why did you poke me like that? Why did you do that to me? How that hurts. And you're sitting there during your school, and it's still hurting. And it really irritates you. Now, all of us can see that that would not be right. Mom would have that one in the spanking room in a hurry if that naughty little boy was doing that kind of thing in the house. But this, I think, takes place all the time. This kind of thing takes place all the time. Oh, no, we're not going to even... It won't even create a wound in the relationship that's irreparable. But it's an irritation, and it's something that causes that thing to rise up in the heart and say, why are you doing that to me? Why are you saying that to me? There is one that speaks like the thrust of a sword. But the tongue of the wise is health. I believe that we can get to where we don't even value peace. You know, we can get to where we even think that's pretty funny. You know, when we smile at talking about what he did or said, I think we can get to where we smile at unwholesome words that one person said to another and how they said it, regardless of the pain that it caused the other person. I think we can get to where we don't even value a peaceful, quiet, loving atmosphere. I fear at these times that we are out of touch with heaven. When we get to that state where we think that thing is funny, when we can take it so lightly, I think we're out of touch with heaven. Are there any sharp words going on in heaven today? Are there sharp words between the Father and the Son? Are they joking in heaven? You know how many times people are joking while they're poking? All the time. We would never disclose that I have a bitter thought toward you or that I'm unforgiving toward you, but I'll poke you and I'll tell it in a joke or I'll say it in a funny way or I'll rib you in a jest. I think it's not right. I don't think there's any of that going on in heaven today. Are there jabbing remarks between the angels of heaven? Think about it. I'm not just asking the question, just think about it. When we think of heaven, Michael the archangels, that host of angels around the throne, are there any jabbing remarks in those relationships? Is Jesus teasing the cherubim this morning? Can you imagine that? Did Jesus ever speak a reckless word? If you think so, you're deceived. And I know there are some who think so. Not here. I have heard people say those things and apply this kind of stuff to the Son of God. It's deception. If we're so far that we're stuck in our own world and we think our things are funny and then we think heaven thinks like we do, we're deceived. Yes. We have deceived ourselves. I don't think it's any wonder that Isaiah, it says in Isaiah 6:5, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he got a revelation of who God was and was ushered there into the presence of God. He was high and lifted up. And he saw his holy train filling the temple. And suddenly, you know what his first thought was? Woe is me! I'm undone! I'm a man of unclean lips! Oh no! All the things that I've said was the thing that Isaiah thought in the presence of God. And I wonder if it's not going to be the same for us. Every idle word will come flooding when we sense the total absence of all that stuff.
when we're standing in the presence of God where everything is serenity, love, and purity, and we are standing there, I think we'll be very, very aware of how defiled we are by our lips. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Woe is me. That's what Isaiah said. Let us say the same thing this morning. Can we? Can we just say, woe is me. It's me too. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I have said things I should not say. Woe is me. You know, we sing that song, Lord, take my lips and let them be filled with messages for Thee. And I think in my mind, I apply it to preaching and missions and evangelism and all that, and I don't realize that there are many messages for Thee that want to be coming out of my lips in my home. Well, let us repair our hearts then. I believe the Scripture has evidence that the problem is not at the gate, the problem is at the flood. The problem is at the source, which is the heart. Let's repair our hearts then. For it is from the heart that the mouth speaks. What are the things? Let's get practical. What are the things that flow from the heart? What are these kind of things? Where do they come from? Where does this kind of behavior come from? As I pondered it, I just have a few. I think pride and competition are big ones. I think a lot of the things that we say that are unwholesome flow from our own pride or a competition to make ourselves excel, to push ourselves front over another person. I think envy and jealousy are motivators. Envy that just doesn't want to see that other person succeed. Don't want to see them succeed. They poked me once. I still have a little bump there where she poked me. I do not want to see her promoted. That's envy. Or jealousy, which is a sister to covetousness. Unforgiveness or bitterness. You know, just something you're harboring in your heart. I think oftentimes we have these things in our homes, in our families. There can be things that have happened between siblings and it just never gets resolved and it never gets resolved and we wonder why does this stuff flow? Why is there such a competition between these two siblings? Why is there harsh words at times? Why at times does there seem to be distance and disagreement where there doesn't seem to be necessary to be disagreement? I think there are oftentimes an unforgiveness in the heart somewhere. A harboring of an ill deed done. And a lack of forgiveness, like it says there in Colossians. Forgiving as Christ forgave you. Insecurity. I think some of these things flow from insecurity. We have no security in Christ. We're fearful for our own lot with God. And we don't understand where we're at, and so it creates an insecurity, and even someone who is secure, why, we want to bring them down. We attack them out of our own insecurity. A carelessness. And when I say carelessness, I don't mean just... I mean a carelessness. Careless. I could care less. Or I couldn't care less about the effect that my words are having on you. Carelessness and recklessness, simply a mindlessness. I'm not even thinking about what effect my words are having upon you. I think some of those things, these things flow from it. And personal frustration. I think personal frustration can cause this. I'm frustrated. And so out it comes, out of my mouth. Unwholesome, not edifying. The song says that, the psalm says that when brothers live in unity, and I'd like to apply that in our families, it is like the oil of Aaron flowing down on his head and off his beard and down to his robes, and the inauguration of the first priest in the world, or the first priest in Israel. And God says unity in a family, I think we can translate brethren to mean a family, when brothers are living in unity with one another, forgiving one another, kind and tender-hearted toward one another, then God says, I get the same feeling seeing that in a home as I got that day that Aaron was anointed. The joy and the hope and the goodness and the wholesomeness and the building up of the nation of Israel through that act has the same effect on my heart when I see brethren living in unity. I think that's the heart of God for our family, for your family. God wants your children living in such a way that it is building up and it is a hope and a restoration of a nation. And that it looks like the oil on Aaron's beard. If your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care. Of whom you speak, to whom you speak, and how, and when, and where. If your lips would keep from slips, five things keep neatly hid. Me, and I, and mine, and my, and how I do or did. James 1:19 has a word for us. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's good counsel in our homes. Can we hear the word of God in our homes? Children, are you listening to me this morning? Are you listening to me this morning? Children, let every man be slow to speak. Where are the children that are slow to speak? Do you have a bunch in your family? Let's be the kind of people in our families that are first listeners. I care more about what he has to say about the matter than what I have to say about the matter. Can it be? Wouldn't you like to live in a home where there are six or seven other people that want to hear you first? Wouldn't you like to live in a home like that? Where your word is valued? Or do you want to live in a home where there are eight people talking over the top of everybody else, just waiting to get their word in, not caring what the other person has to say, just wanting to disclose their own heart? Which one would you like? The scripture says, let every man, woman, child, be slow to speak. Let's be slow to speak and quick to hear. And when someone says something against you, and when someone says something that you disagree with, and when someone says something that you know isn't true, you know better, be slow to wrath. Okay. The righteous man studieth and says, now, what do I say about this? What do I say? Lord, give me grace. What do I say? I'm about to open my lips. I want whatever I have to say to edify and to give grace to the hearer. You know that word grace can be interpreted a gift. Every word coming out of your mouth, it's like a little package that everybody's just so anxious to unwrap and find what's in it. Well, let's make it that way. We can have that. I believe Jesus Christ died so that we could have homes like I'm talking about. Romans 12 says, bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. You know, we have permission by the Holy Scripture to strike cursing from our vocabulary and to install blessing as our only vocabulary. Isn't that what the Scripture's saying? Make blessing your only vocabulary. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, says Peter, but contrarywise, blessing. Not when she says that evil against me, I'll say this evil against her. He said that railing against me, I'm going to rail back on him. But rather, he rails me, I blessed him. He railed on me, I blessed him. He cursed me, I blessed him. He criticized me, I blessed him. He spoke evil of me, I blessed him. He criticized me, he belittled me, he intimidated me, I blessed him, I blessed him, I blessed him. That's the Christian life. Brothers and sisters, and I mean brothers in a family, you that are brothers in a family, and you that are sisters in a family, hear me this morning. Your little brothers and your little sisters are waiting for your blessing. I wish I could tell you that earnestly enough. I wish I could sit every one of you up in your seats and hear one thing from me this morning. If you're a sister in a family, if you're an older brother in a family, you have little brothers and sisters that are just waiting to get a blessing from you.
Yes. Amen.
I mean, while you think that they are so naughty and they're so, hard to live with and cause you so many troubles and say so many naughty things about you and cause so much trouble and you can't get anything done, while you're in all that state, their little hearts are just waiting to hear a blessing from you. And if that strikes you difficult, if you can't in the midst of a difficult day in the kitchen, just extend a blessing and say, God bless you, little girl. I'm so glad God puts you in my family. If you can't say that to your little brother and say, I'm so blessed to have you as my brother. If those things kind of stick in your mouth, and you know it's kind of a lot manly and I didn't grow up that way and I don't know how to do that, let's change. Let's change. Today, let's change. Because we have been called that we might get a blessing when we bless. And I tell you, a blessing is a blessing to everyone. Those unwholesome words that come out of our mouth are not a blessing to anyone. It's death. But a blessing is life in our homes. I want to just take a moment and lift up a practice that we learned from Kenny Nolte. I don't know how many of you were at charity when Kenny Nolte preached on the blessing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 7, 8. Yeah, Kenny Nolte, actually, he was talking about a blessing, pulled it out of the Jewish tradition that when the father came home, the children would all line up in the door and he would go down the row and lay his hand on each head and bless each one. God bless you, son. I see this in your life. I hope God does this in your life. And he would bless every child. And Kenny got up in his service and brought his boys up there and showed us how to do it. And we started a tradition based on that message in our family. Birthdays are not birthdays like blow out the candles anymore and have a happy birthday and make a wish and big presents and stuff like that. We decided we're going to make birthdays a blessing day. When the birthday person gets blessings. Amen. And I tell you, over the years, for about probably 12 to 14 years now we've been doing that. Birthdays aren't even the same in our family. I mean, to us, it's old hat. Our children have grown up. We have children that have grown up and know nothing other than a blessing day being a time when we have a meal together remember all the memories that we have of that person. And then we sit in the front room and each person has a card made and we start at the youngest all the way to the oldest. And they start like this. Dalia, I want to bless you. I see you're being so helpful in the kitchen nowadays. I want to bless you that you're my little sister. I'm so thankful that God made you my little sister. I want to bless you also because I see that you're being more obedient and you're responding to discipline. I want to bless you for that. And boy, that little girl just sits on the little bench and is so edified. You know, and she turns to the next person. What am I going to get next? I'll tell you, the gifts, you know, maybe she'll get a little tablet and a package of colored pencil. It's nothing. I remember one of our little girls, I don't remember which one it was at this moment, but she had a little bag, and when those little cards came in, and Dara used to sit her up on her lap and say, let me read your little card to you. Dear so-and-so, I just want to bless you, and she'd have it all listed out there. I want to bless you because I see this in your life. I want to bless you because I see this in your life. And that little girl would just look, and like she can't read it, but she just, and then she'd grab that little card and run to the center of the room where her stool was and put it in her bag. And then when her bag was all full of her blessing cards, she'd run upstairs and put it in her little treasure place. Because I tell you, your little brothers and your little sisters are dying for a blessing from you. If you don't listen to anything I say this morning, young ladies and young men, will you listen to me? Your little brothers and your little sisters are waiting for you to bless them. Get over your upbringing. Get over your dad's upbringing. Get over your mother's upbringing. And learn how to speak a blessing on your siblings. And I hope your mom and dad get over it too. All right, I'd like to give a few final counsels here, considering this message. Maybe I'm not getting too enough practical enough. I hope God can help us there. But here's just a few counsels. Ecclesiastes 7:21. Please turn there. Here's a piece of counsel that will change your life if you'll listen to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 21 and 22. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Oh, take that to heart. People are going to say things that they don't really mean. Just like you say things that you don't really mean. Would you like to be held accountable for every curse that you have spoken? Did you mean every bad thing that you said? How many have spoken in a heat of emotion things they wish they had never said? Well, you know what this is saying? Keep that in mind when others speak evil of you. Maybe they don't mean it altogether either. Give them some grace. I think if we'll apply that in our lives, it will go a long ways to eradicating some of the motivation that causes this to go on in the church, in our families. If we'll just say, you know, she's having a bad day today. I've had bad days too. You know, maybe she's not feeling well today and she's feeling one of those irritable sensations, and I think I can write that off. You know, maybe he's upset and hasn't found some grace. Maybe he had a bad morning with some children and hasn't had time with the Lord. Maybe we can write some excuses for one another and not take it all scrutinizingly to heart. Don't scrutinize everything that is being said about you. Let's make our families a safe place to learn. Who wants to learn under derision? You know, you can learn under derision. I learned under derision. I learned in school. I went to a school where that was a mode of motivation, ridicule, intimidation, derision. And it does motivate people. But you know what comes along with it? A knife. You know, if you learn, if your children learn under derision, they'll learn and they'll be happy you taught them. But you know, this will be happening in their life. Frustration, insecurity. Let's not make our homes a place where it's dangerous not to know. Let's make our homes a place where if you're ignorant, you can be educated. You can be edified in love. In your homeschooling, never let a child degrade another child because they don't know as much as them. I think that's punishable. That is the most hurtful. I mean, I would punish a child just as if they took this knife and stabbed them. To have those words in my home. Don't let it happen. Make your home a safe place where a person can say, I don't know as much as you. And that's okay. I'll teach you. You'll know more than I will before long. Let's make it a home like that. And I'm not just talking to fathers and mothers. I mean children. Who wants to grow up in a home where all you get to do is get derided for what you don't know? None of you were born with all knowledge, were you? How many came into the world knowing anything except I want milk? We learned everything when we were here. There's nothing humiliating about being ignorant. So let's not let the world impress us that we're fools if we don't know. No, we're naive. But the Word of God can make us wise. Let's make our homes a place where we don't look down on our little brother because he doesn't know as much as we are. And for sure, we never say so. We'd never hurt his feelings by intimidating him and making him feel like he's ignorant or foolish because he doesn't know as much. Lord, help us. The golden rule applies here. Let's just treat one another the way we want to be treated. And I know that sometimes we don't even know what it's like to be treated well. But let's take the Word of God as our example and say, this is how I want to treat others. This is the way I would want to be treated. Let me say this in passing. If you're a coffee or a tea drinker and you have a difficulty controlling your tongue, consider fasting, coffee and tea. I just say that in passing. I know in my own life, caffeine is an accelerator. And if you already have a horse that's out of control, don't give him coffee. Also, I'd like to say, fathers and mothers, let us command respect. Let us command respect. And when I say command respect, let me be understood rightly. I don't mean, hey, you need to respect me. Though sometimes you need to say that. I hope it's not very often. But command respect means let's be the kind of people that our children must respect. They must respect us. Because we're God-fearing, because the only words that ever come out of my mouth are edifying to my family, never degrading. Let us be the example in such a way that our children must respect us. Be an example of the believer in this. Beware of facial expression, tone of voice, and body language. You know, your body language can just say a lot, as well as the tone of your voice. So, let's be careful with it. Can we? Huh? You know, you can say so much that you really don't want to say with your tone of voice, your facial expressions, your body language. Let everything be under control and brought under one motivating factor, and that is to make the other person edified. Application. Number one, purpose today to begin blessing your brother or sister. That's application number one. If you don't get any other applications, go home today and bless that brother of yours. Bless that sister of yours. Make it your purpose right here this morning. I'm going to change the way I speak, the way I think, the way I behave towards this person in my family. Purpose today to begin to bless your brother or your sister. I am so thankful you are my brother. I'm sorry for the way I've treated you. That's a good starting place. That's repentance, everyone. Repentance is saying, I'm going this way. The Word of God says, that's not the right way. I say, I believe it. I'm not going that way anymore. I'm going this way. And I would say this morning, if you have a family life like I'm describing here, if these things are going on in your life to any extent, then to that extent, let us repent of it. And let us purpose in our hearts this morning, application number one, I'm going to say, I'm sorry for the way I've been relating to you. And begin to bless in our families. Don't be intimidated because you're being thought of and said, well, it's just because Pastor David shared it with, you know, that service this morning. You don't really mean it. Well, maybe you can prove that you mean it later on. But at least get started. You know, change that old-fashioned manliness, men, that can't open your mouth and say, I love you. You know, that sticks in the mouth naturally. Pride, ego, self, whatever our self view of ourself is, we find it hard just to bless someone and say, I love you. We want to be macho and strong and manly. Well, the Scripture says, bless. Peter was a man, and I think he blessed a lot. And then lastly, turn back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of redemption. I'd like to lay that as an application this morning. I don't know how else to say it. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Let's purpose this morning that Ephesians 4:29 is a reality in my life, in my home. This verse is going to be a reality. I just have a burden for our families. And I lay it before you as the Word of God. I think it's applicable to where many of us are at. I know some of us have victory in this area. I think all of us can always hear a message like this and profit from it, no matter where we are. And my burden is that we make a change this morning. If the rubber never meets the road, I've wasted my breath here. We can have the Bible. We can have the Lord Jesus' blood on the cross. We can have all the eternal glories awaiting ahead of us. But if we don't somewhere recognize that we are on the wrong track here and turn and say, I repent, I will begin today to obey the Word of God, then it's all in vain. Let's make application this morning. God bless you all.
Thank you, Brother David. That is true. That is true. Very convicting. thought back over my childhood at home, and a few times I believe that my mother or my father realized that it wasn't right and gave a little admonition for it, but very seldom discipline, and it became known or it became a habit in the home. God have mercy on us. I so appreciate the privilege to hear it in this way for all of our families, even though we are where we are in age and time. What a blessing to know it and to acknowledge that it's the truth, it's right. May God truly help us in all areas of life to apply it. Home life, church life, community life, employer life, or employee life. A lot could be said for the employee, employer, or workplace, out on the job, and many other areas. I'd like to open it up this time. Microphone to you. You have something to share. Raise your hand. Get a microphone to you. Over here, Brother Dave.
Yeah. Thank you, Brother David, for that message. I'd like to say that I live in a home where the positive part of that message is carried out much. I fail quite a bit, but I am blessed with the encouragement and the blessing that I hear from my children, and I hear them voice to each other, and it's just a tremendous blessing. I'd like to say it's contagious. When people have good attitudes, it's really contagious. Mm-hmm. And if we can do that, it will bless each other. Another thing I'd like to say is if our expectations, I thought about it at Bible school, and I wanted to say something this morning. I didn't know what to expect at Bible school because of the situation. We didn't know how things were going to be. And we had young people at our house, and they were so blessed. And it was such mm-hmm. a tremendous encouragement. Mm-hmm. And if your expectations are not really high, and then you get so much more than you expected, there's so much to be grateful for. If we have high expectations of each other, we're going to be disappointed. If we don't have the expectations higher than they should be, we'll always be blessed by each other. And I just I thought that about Bible school this year. We were really blessed because our expectations maybe were not quite as high as they are sometimes. And I was just very, very thankful. And I'm very thankful for the message this morning. I want to try to apply it more in my own life.
So encouraging. So motivating for us to apply it. When we see the results, the effect it has, we all know how it feels when we get blessed by others and complimented and appreciated for what we've done or who we are. How glad people are that we're in their home or in their church. Amen. Others. A lot to ponder, isn't it? It's a real soberness on our hearts.
Yes, I also wanted to get up today and say how blessed I was with this Bible school. I might not have heard all the messages, but I heard mostly all of them. And it just helped me to realize that I need to take Christ as the center of my life too, and apply it to my heart wherever I go, whatever I do and think and say. And
amen.
And this message today too struck me too, that I think I have to admit my words are not always kind, and I want us too to pray for me too. To soften my speech, I've been convicted a long time of that, and I want to completely surrender my life to Christ and just take Him as my Father and my leader and everything I need. I just want to lay my life down at His cross and His feet for the message.
Amen. God bless you, Rachel. Never too late to learn, be instructed in the ways of righteousness. Marie?
I feel like I was really blessed by the message today and really convicted. I feel like just with a lot of different things in life, I felt myself getting rather frustrated over the last while. And I used to often pray that God would put a watch before my mouth, but then it seems like the last while I've just gotten frustrated with things and let a lot of things slip and spoke my mind a lot more lately than I should have. And just ask that y'all would pray for me that I would be able to put a watch before my mouth and speak all things that are edifying.
Yes, yes.
James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I am very, very thankful to have ears to hear the Word of God preached this morning.
Amen.
What we've heard today is so needy.
Yes.
I think in everybody's ears, but I do bless God for having me and my family here today.
Amen.
We needed Amen. This message.
Yes.
I don't think there's a more timely message we could have heard.
Mm-hmm.
As the stage of life we're in, it just seems like there's way too much clamor in the home. Everybody wanting to talk and share their thoughts. And I've noticed more and more, we had a devotion on this recently, just the disrespect level of each other's words are getting so invaluable. Just so much in each heart to say. And may God revive our home.
Amen.
May we hear this and take this and repent. And be careful.
Amen.
The illustrations from the little pen to the big machete were just mighty in my sight.
That's
to see
right.
that. I just see that so clear. And I ask you to please pray for the Chapmans that we might bridle our tongues, that we might have the gentleness of the Lord Jesus, that we might have the wisdom of God, that the Spirit of God might not be grieved anymore in our home. That He may find a sweet place of refuge in our hearts.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. You're expressing my heart in so many ways. Brother Ron. Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, brother. I appreciate the message too very much. Just wanted to focus on one aspect of it. I think you alluded to it, David. It's the fact that if we want our children to be this way, you know, with each other in the home and with us, then we as parents have to lead the way in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to be that way. And as he said, you know, maybe some of us didn't grow up in homes where it was mm-hmm. that way. Maybe some of us did. But we can change. The Lord can help us to change and take the lead in it. Give praise where it is due. Bless one another, husbands and wives and our own children. It's no secret. They will learn better by what we do than by what we tell them to do, especially if we're not doing it ourselves. So let's take courage from this very timely message here and take our rightful place in leading out in this area by giving the blessing in our homes that our children may imitate that.
Sister Claire.
Yes, I'd also like to thank Brother David for the message. It seemed like it was just for me today. I've been having that on my heart and wanted some practical, down-to-earth convictions and rebukes. And I got it today, and I just want to confess I've had good days, but it seems like I've had worse days with the children. Blessing them, it seems that it's hard sometimes. I need to learn how to do that, but like he said, it's pride that is not letting us bless and speak blessings into And I just want to ask, when you think about me, to pray for me that I can bless and praise more than I rebuke, and be a blessing to others. And I want to confess I've spoken bitterness to the children and being harsh words, and I just want to change and repent of those words and be a blessing to my children, to be an example more than anything. Like, what would I want my children to be when they grow up? Do I want them to be like I am now, like I'm talking to them? And I want a heart from God, and a changed heart, and a blessed heart. Thank you again.
Thank you, Clara. Amen. Up here in front, is there someone else? Yeah. Sister Teresa.
Yes, I would like you to all pray for us. I think the machete used to be wielded in our home, and it's caused great wounds that need much healing. We put the machetes down, but I'm not satisfied. All weapons have to be put down. And this is the number one problem in our home. Is the mouth is just used way too freely, all the way from mama down to the baby. Just please pray for us that we would learn to live in peace and harmony with each other, and bless and not criticize.
Amen.
Thank you.
Right behind you here, Luke.
Yes, I am thankful for the message today. I have to think some little bit of time ago, I think it was Brother Dean preached a message from the book of Joshua on land that is yet to be possessed in the land of Canaan. And I remember, I think that afternoon or evening or sometime, talking to my wife and saying, you know, the area of drawing the children together and having order and having a peaceful atmosphere and just that in the home is the thing that I'm going to fight for. That's what we want. Even though I see in my own life, sometimes I have to fight for it. I'm going to have that in our home. And the way Brother David spoke today, I had to think of that again. Amen. This is something that we need. I want to take. What spoke to me personally is the thought, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. And Brother David said, edifying isn't just education.
Yes.
It's not just correcting and guiding, but it's actually building them up. And
very good.
I want the Lord, by His Spirit, to change me and teach me how to have speech that edifies, not just give guidance and instruction, but also edification.
Amen. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. Which one?
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.